This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I will be your host for the first hour. Just to update everybody, my wife and I are still waiting for our kid. We are about a week and a half out, so if I do have to step away from the site and from the show, it'll only happen for a short period of time, and I have set up our good friend Chris Temple to fill in for me. Just wanted to keep everyone up to date, and just wanted to thank everybody for all the great emails I've been getting recently from all of our listeners. I truly do appreciate all of those. That being said, let's get into the show, kicking off today with Byron King. He is the editor, co-editor, I guess you can say, of his newsletter, The Gold Speculator, with Jim Rickards and Byron King. And Byron, what I want to talk about is what majors are doing in the sector. I keep on looking at the majors, waiting for their stocks to move, and looking at their financial statements and seeing that they are producing better and better financial numbers. But the problem is these companies are not spending money in the sector. They're increasing their dividends. But when you look at a sector as big as the gold sector and you have these major companies who continue to cut costs, it doesn't end up equaling longer-term growth for the sector, at least right now, does it?
It does not. And it's great to be with you, by the way, and congratulations on events in life. Getting back to your question, the precious metal mining companies have been focusing really hard for the last couple of years on cost cutting because, you know, they had this near-death experience in 2014, 2015. I mean, big companies, even, you know, I mean, Barrick had retained bankruptcy counsel. I mean, to think that a great big company like Barrick would ever, you know, file for bankruptcy, and it would be a Chapter 11, one of those debtor in possession kind of things. But still, the idea that a big gold mining company can go bankrupt, it's almost a contradiction in terms. But but across the industry, the whole focus has been cost cut, cost cut, cost cut. Okay, I get it. You eliminate, you know, the overhead staff. You eliminate corporate headquarters staff. You look for every economy you can. You really beat up on your supply chain. Okay, great. You can cost cut your way out of a lot of problems. You can cost cut your way even to profitability. But what you can't do is you cannot cost cut your way to growth. And that is especially true in the mining industry, which is an industry that is based on depletion and even destruction of your assets. I mean, you have an asset in the ground. You've got ore in the ground. You're going to blow it up with explosive. You're going to pull it out with heavy machinery. You're going to crush it, dissolve it in acid, make your gold, and then you're going to take the waste and you're either going to pump, put it back in the hole in the ground, or you're going to put it in a tailings pile. It is a destructive business model as opposed to a sustainability type business model. I mean, if you're General Motors and you build cars, you can use the same factory to build cars year after year after year. I mean, you might have to retool the factory, for every new model or every year, you close down for a couple of weeks and, add some new tools and new dies or replace some machinery. But, I mean, basically, you're not destroying your factory every year. We've used the Boeing example, Boeing, they just crank out the airplanes year after year after year. And same thing. It's a sustainable model versus a destructive business model. Getting back to the point about cost cutting, you can cost cut your way to profitability, but where is the growth? And the answer to that question is the growth is what the mining companies have foregone by not investing enough in exploration, in expansion, even expansion on and around existing properties. I mean, the best place to build a new mine is next to your old mine, and many companies on many of their properties have just underinvested in that, even that incremental growth of their existing production, let alone going out into the woods and the mountains and the fields, you know, looking for new opportunities exploration-wise. And it's not that even that the Newmonts or the Barracks or whatever, it's not that they even do. It's the small junior exploration and early-stage development companies that are doing that work. And we have not seen the money go into, you know, the kind of takeovers and mergers that you need to replace the gold or the ore that you mine every year in terms of, the millions of ounces that the major companies are pulling out of the ground.
So, Byron, do you think that we're going to see a shift in the sector? Maybe some of these mid-tier type companies who are developing some what look like very attractive resources, they could start to challenge these larger scale miners? Or do you think that we will see a change from the larger scale miners, some M&A activity almost take the industry in a flurry rather than this slow dabbling of somewhat mediocre M&A activity we've seen recently?
Well, I think you have to look at it. You know, you have to look at the intermediate guys and you have to look at the big guys, with two different, sets of glasses. The big guys, the large miners, the big name brands, the Barricks, the Newmonts, the Goldcorps, whatever, if they're not growing, their share price won't go up because they're not the kind of things that a big institution would want to buy. Sure, a big institution or a big fund, if you bought into a large gold mining company, but it's not growing, well, it makes no sense. I mean, the only reason that a big institution or a big fund buys these things is because they will grow. You can cut your way to profitability, and out of that profitability, maybe you can even pay a dividend. But if you're not growing, certainly in the mining industry, you're not an attractive type of company for an institution or a fund to want to buy. There's no growth, and eventually, because you're shrinking your asset base by mining it out every year, you won't even be able to pay the dividends. So those are dying companies if they're not growing. Now, the intermediate guys, that gives them a golden opportunity, if I may use that expression, to do it from both ends. I mean, sure, cut your costs, sure, be profitable, et cetera, but use that money to make deals, make these 9.9% or 19.9% buy-ins to the junior exploration crowd or the early stage development crowd. You can buy in or just, find some very, very strong explorer or a very sweet development story that is moving along crisply and just buy the whole darn thing out. And the thing is right now, oh my goodness, the valuations of some of these exploration and development companies are just utterly, totally dirt cheap. I mean, here we are it's April of 2018. We're a little over 2 years into the rebound that started in January of 2016. And so many of these companies, have climbed the share price mountain and they have drifted down the slope on the other side. For right now, there are so many terrific opportunities in the junior space of explorers and developers out there, and their price is the same or not much more than it was 2 years ago, yet they are so much better companies, more drilling, more numbers, better resource numbers, smarter geologists, smarter management teams. It pains me to think how much tuition we've spent as shareholders to send these geological teams and these management teams to school to learn more about their deposit, all for the, for the same price. I'm looking at one after another company that when I look at the 3 or 4 or 5 year price chart, I go back to January of 2016 or December of 2015. Some of these companies are back right around near where they were way back when. It's like the last 2 years never happened, except that if you buy into this company today, you're buying just so much of a better company because they've got so much more knowledge, so much more definition to the asset that they've been working on for 2 years.
Hey, Byron, some great comments again on the resource sector. There's no denying that the market is still being relatively ignored, and the majors aren't helping that out by not injecting more capital into companies. There are some bright spots, but it seems like everyone's waiting for that breakout.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with John Kaiser. He is the founder of Kaiser Research. And John and I usually talk about junior companies in the metals sector, mostly focused on precious metals, but sometimes we dabble in different resources. And that's what we're going to do in this segment, mostly focusing on diamonds. But first and foremost, John, one thing that you and I have been talking about a lot is the makeup of the venture exchange and how much the resource stocks have pulled back in terms of market share. A lot of that market share going to blockchain and cannabis stocks. But recently, we're seeing a pullback, especially in the blockchain stocks, also in some of the cannabis stocks. What do you think this means for the TSX and more specifically maybe some of the actual companies, the resource companies that have lost favor in this industry?
Well, the problem for the resource juniors is that even though the bubble in Canadian cannabis and the whole blockchain cryptocurrency mania has peaked and the value traded is subsiding, the interest in resource stocks is tracking this downwards. And even in the last few days as we headed into April, I'm shocked that companies which are dropping, resource juniors that are dropping below their, lows from the past year or so. It will take several months for the fallout from the end of the cannabis and the blockchain bubble to work itself through the system. Enormous amounts of money went into cannabis plays. All those shareholders are going to be quite unhappy for some time. And the people, the brokers who put the money into these stocks, they're not going to have anything available for the resource sector for some time. There's been a lot of bad press about the cryptocurrency stuff. Governments are introducing rules to make it more difficult to trade this stuff. But there's also good press about the blockchain concept. And again, I've argued in the past that blockchain is going to end up being sort of a public good rather than a big giant cash cow to make money. It's very different from the whole cryptocurrency game where you mine crypto coins and then you sell them to some stupido who thinks it's going to go up higher and higher and somehow eventually replace the dollar. An example of where blockchain can be really important is in the diamond sector. And the big controversy in the last few years has first been conflict diamonds, sullying the perception of diamonds as something good that you're proud to buy, own, and wear. More recently, the arrival of synthetic diamonds with chemical vapor deposition techniques making gem-quality diamonds, not just the industrial diamonds that showed up in the 50s and 60s, but competing high-quality diamonds. And this has made the natural diamond producers very, very nervous because if the public does not distinguish between natural diamonds and synthetic diamonds, the increasingly lower cost for synthetic diamonds will shut down the market for natural diamonds. And diamonds were a big thing in the 90s heading into the current century, but lately they've been in a big slump. And there's only about 30 diamond companies in Australia and Canada that I'm still tracking that are still seriously involved in the diamond sector. But stuff like blockchain is giving the sector hope because you can fingerprint a diamond and but through laser scanning once it's cut and polished. And if you've got your chain of custody of mine to market, you can enter it into a blockchain ledger and it's like a collector verifying that this is an original diamond, not a synthetic one, or not a conflict one that showed up from Sierra Leone or some other war-torn areas. So I think this is going to turn around the junior diamond sector, which is probably at a 20-year low right now.
Well, there are many things that we can look at in the diamond sector to show, again, just how unloved that sector is. It's interesting to hear you correlating some blockchain usage for tracking diamonds. Diamonds aren't the only sector that this could be beneficial in, but it definitely could be one where it's needed in terms of these synthetic diamonds hitting the markets. But John, in terms of the companies, as you said, less than 30 companies in the diamond sector. We don't hear anybody talking about it. There are some leaders that we need to watch. but there are also a number of small companies that are continuing to struggle but still doing something in the sector. Talk about maybe some of the large companies like Peregrine first, please.
Well, for example, Peregrine has been one of my favorite picks in the last 6-7 years. The company's Chidliak project has been successful establishing a high-quality diamond with a good high grade. What they haven't had is the 30, 40, 50 million carats that other projects such as Gahcho Kué have, which unfortunately are burdened by having very poor quality diamonds and are creating sort of a negative perception about the diamond sector. But Peregrine Diamonds is controlled by the Friedlands. And when the market started turning bad a few years ago and not responding to good results that they were putting out, they kind of said, well, screw Bay Street and the rest of the market. We'll fund this ourselves. We'll do rights offerings and we'll do our pro rata share and guarantee the rest of it. And so they've managed to work their stake up to about 45% of the 400 million shares up. But from a shareholder perspective, it's been frustrating because they do these deep discounts to the market price, 40% or so, and they've done several of them. And the stock hasn't recovered, and it is like only a $60 million valuation or something like that for a project that the PEA done a couple of years ago suggests is worth at least $250 million. And they have they will be doing an updated PEA that will include an underground mining scenario. It'll come out in the second quarter. And because this stock, even though it's done so well in delivering the fundamentals, has rewarded shareholders so poorly in terms of valuation, it's the symbol. If in the second quarter the numbers are good and the Freelands don't just sit and say, okay, let's do a nickel financing rights offering and maybe privatize this. Instead, they suddenly say, this is a good project. We think it's severely undervalued. When you see Peregrine Diamonds start to turn up, that's going to be the symbol that the diamond junior sector is ready for a turnaround. And one of the things that may also help is the recent appointment of Ira Thomas, the Queen of Diamonds, to Lucara Diamonds, Lucas Lundin's company that's had that fabulous Karo project in Botswana producing these very big, high-quality Type 2A diamonds.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but John and I do continue our conversation talking more about a few companies that he is also following, as well as a few other developments that potential investors and those watching the sector do need to be aware of. You can find that whole interview at kereport.com under our weekend show posting in segment two. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, we are getting more or less a company update from Skeena Resources and their president and CEO, Walter Coles. Skeena is traded on the TSX Venture under the symbol SKE and on the OTCQX under the symbol SKREF. Walter, what I first want to do, and what I think is always very important, and I'm lucky to be able to do, is talk to management teams quite like yours and get an understanding more of the market, what you're seeing from a corporate side of things. And you put in front of me a very interesting RBC report that deals with the type of capital fundraising that the mining sector has been doing recently. And we've talked about it in the past of how hard it has been for companies to raise money and how a lot of this money has been, you could argue, kind of distracted and focused on ETFs, which unfortunately don't directly fund companies. But this RBC report says that alternative sources of capital are taking a more prominent role in our sector. Of the almost $925 million raised by junior precious metals companies so far in 2018, only 14% has come from traditional equity. Talk about how when you're running your company and understanding that money is in the sector, it's just not funding companies directly, how you balance that out with managing the company moving forward.
Well, it's a very difficult time, as you just said, for raising capital. And It's not so much that more capital is available from non-traditional sources as capital is disappearing from traditional sources. And that $925 million that's been raised year to date was not just juniors. It's all exploration and development companies globally in the precious metal space. So it's a pretty eye-popping statistic that traditional sources of capital represented only 14% of capital raised year to date. In other words, streaming companies, royalty companies, private equity, and strategic investments from majors have represented the lion's share of capital raised. And, you know, you mentioned ETFs. The problem with ETFs for the mining space is that ETFs are sucking in capital, but they don't put it out to the companies. They don't make investments into companies to fund exploration and to fund building projects. So a lot of mining companies are quite frightened by these statistics, and I think that makes sense. But the other side of it is that all mines are depleting assets. And so if you don't have funding going into exploration or building new mines, then we know that that sets up for a shortage. So, you know, the one certainty in this space is that it's cyclical, and the things that happen, the funding situation is laying the seeds for a very powerful bull market. The million-dollar question is when does that bull market kick in? I would say it's almost impossible to put a finger on that exactly, but with 100% certainty, I would say that within the next couple of years, we'll see that. We feel very fortunate to have, you know, been an outlier and have been successful in just raising $8.5 million to fund our exploration program. And I think it's a testament to the quality of the projects that we have. And also, you know, the beauty of high grade is that it gives you margin for error from our investor perspective, that if gold prices were to go down in the short term, we've got the type of assets that can weather that storm.
Yeah, I think one of the positives of what's going on in this sector and the lack of funding available for companies is that you're really getting to isolate some of the higher quality companies, those ones that are able to raise money. We've noted that a number of times on our show that the market can almost help you do some due diligence in the sense that you just need to step back and ask yourself, why is this company able to raise money? And in your guys' case, oversubscribed a private placement compared to other companies that are scrambling just to raise a couple $100,000. So in a way, that is also the market helping. I think investors who want to get in early and ride out when we do get that pop, some of the higher quality companies. That's what we try to focus on, and that's why I think Skeena is a standout in the Golden Triangle, especially is because you do continue to drill and you did just raise money at 60 cents a unit, which the share price is very close to that level right now. It even dipped slightly below, so I take that as a buying opportunity. But let's talk about what you're going to use this money for, and this is a Phase 2 underground drill program of 11,000 meters. You're going to have two rigs on the site. What are you hoping to prove, and what are you, first and foremost, most excited about for this drill program?
Well, it's about the 200-foot wall. That's where we're really excited. On our presentation on slide 8, there's a cross-section which shows an area. It's called section 4470, where there's a single drill hole that was drilled in 200 meters below the historic mined areas into the footwall. And that single drill hole hit 45 grams over 4 meters. And there's no other drilling around it in this section. The reason we were able to get funding is because of the potential of this being another twin zone opportunity here. And just as a reminder, the twin zone produced 750,000 ounces of gold at an ounce per ton. You know, if we're able to tag in and grow something like that, you know, it doesn't matter really what, you know, even if gold goes to $1,000, this would be an enormously valuable new discovery. And we've got about 6 or 7 drill holes into this 200-foot wall area, which all, you know, have a very tantalizing intercepts. If you look on slide 9 of our presentation, you'll see some other intercepts into this area. Another one's 58 grams over 6 meters. Another one's 16 grams over 13 meters. That's why we're able to raise the money, is because people want to know, is there another 1,000,000 ounces here at 20 grams or 30 grams? that's what we're going to try to answer with this drill program that we've just started.
Okay, so this sounds like it is very much more exploration drilling. You are still going to hopefully build out the known resource, but this 200-foot wall, this is exploration drilling in the sense that, yes, there are some historic drill holes, but other than what you're doing, can you share with us maybe why some of those historic holes were not followed up on in the past?
Well, you just got to remember the context of when SNIP operated. It operated from 1991 to 99. So the price of gold was dropping from over $400 down to $250 in 1999. So the cutoff grade that they were using at the start of mining was 12 grams, and by the latter years was over 20. In fact, the last 2 years, it was 24-gram cutoff. You know, now if we're able to find something that's averaging 15 or even 12 grams, that's a valuable deposit. But back in 1999, the grade was not high enough to be profitable back then, and that's partly, it's not just the gold price, but also the lack of infrastructure back then in the area. So, you know, some of the historical holes were never followed up on.
So one comment that you made to me off mic that I think is very important for investors to know is that this drill program that you're undertaking now could be very important for the company because of the potential of a new discovery. Can you share with us maybe the time frame when we might see some of these drill results and what your strategy is to, I guess, release them to the market?
Yeah, so as we've discussed in the past, we have a dual strategy. One drill rig is focused on the remnant areas, areas that we know that were there, and we're filling in the gaps. So that's a lower risk infill strategy to add ounces. You know, our probability success on that is very high, and I hope that from that effort we'll get somewhere between 500,000-700,000 ounces. The 200 footwall area is higher risk, but it's also much, much higher reward.
Okay. Hey, this is going to be an exciting time again for the company. I've enjoyed following along with the Phase 1 drill program because I want people to go back and check over those results. They were, again, very impressive when you take the grade and the width. Hopefully this 200-foot wall turns out to be, well, a copy of that twin zone, but we will follow along drill result by drill result. And Walter, I do appreciate the update, and as I mentioned, we will be following along when we start to see some of these results hit the market. Thanks for your time, Walter, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361 for hot and cold therapy. sunny-bay.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I'm happy to say that wrapping up the show, I am chatting with Jesse Felder. He is the founder and editor of the Felder Report. And Jesse, we're going to talk about this whole concept of data security and privacy on the internet because it has been front and center. Plus, you and I have talked about some of the downfalls of Facebook just from a personal standpoint in terms of the younger generation and some of the issues it's been having psychologically on that generation. But now that we're seeing Facebook in the headlines and more information being shared about just how much data is being collected, plus some regulation that it sounds like is coming out of Europe, the bigger picture here, at least initially, is that these companies that were making a big business out of collecting our data and, quite frankly, knowing more about us than I think we would even say that we know about ourselves, this trend could be coming to an end. At least it's on shaky ground right now, isn't it?
Yeah, and Facebook is really just kind of the poster child, I think, for a much bigger backlash. It's something I've been paying attention to since, you know, last summer when we started seeing a lot of the media pick up stories about how Facebook makes us unhappy, and about how smartphones and modern technology and social media are contributing to the rise, actually the doubling of the teen suicide rate over the last 10 years. And you know, those stories started becoming more prominent and then resonating with the general public. And now this whole Cambridge Analytica thing is really taking it to the next level. But this is a trend that is not going away. This isn't something that's just going to blow over for Facebook in a short period of time. This is, I also liken it to the trends or the inspiration behind Bitcoin and why Bitcoin was gathering so much traction. People are tired of this centralization of authority, centralization of data, centralization of power. And so, you know, as cryptocurrency and Bitcoin is a move towards decentralization and empowering people and individuals rather than centralized authorities, this anti-tech or, you know, backlash against big tech is kind of the same thing. It's, you know, people getting upset about one man, Mark Zuckerberg, who has control of an immense amount of personal and private data, which is extremely valuable. There's a reason that Facebook is worth $500 billion today, even after it's sold off. And they don't, especially, you know, people don't like the fact that he has control over this when he clearly doesn't have their best interests in mind. So this, while a lot of people think, yeah, Facebook is oversold and, you know, might be a cheap, a good buying opportunity, I think people don't understand that this backlash represents a direct attack on Facebook's business model. And it's not just Facebook, you know, it's attack on big tech, generally. And the trend is just growing. It doesn't look to me like it's anywhere near, just kind of blowing over and people are going to forget about it.
Hey, you're right. We're definitely, I think, going to continue to hear more and more about maybe what regulation's going to be put in. Plus, hopefully people pay more attention to their privacy settings and what they're doing online. But we can go back to this most recent election that I think has opened up a lot of people's eyes, because initially the argument was, yeah, they're collecting a lot of data on me, but you know what? It's just for advertising purposes. And yeah, I see ads from websites that I visited just recently, but that's how this company's making money. Now that we've seen that some of these ads were used in the election to more or less manipulate people, it sheds a totally different light on it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and to me, the advertising in itself is dangerous, and it's directly related to, you know, people's sense of well-being. You know, advertisers figured out a long time ago, how do you get somebody to buy something they don't need? Well, you make them feel bad about themselves, you make them feel inferior, and then you present them with an opportunity to get rid of those feelings. And usually that's by buying something that makes them feel better. Car companies figured this out 100 years ago. How do you get somebody to buy a car every couple of years when a car will last a lot longer than a couple of years? You make them feel inferior, and they have to buy the new, you know, more beautiful model in order to feel better about themselves. Facebook takes this to, you know, takes this and puts it on steroids and said, you know, we're going to make you feel horrible about yourself, and then we're going to present you with an opportunity to buy a product or, you know, push a button, click something that will potentially give you that dopamine boost and make you feel better. And so it's an incredibly addictive and manipulative platform, and not just Facebook, but, you know, all the social media companies do. The Snapchat is at least as dangerous in my mind as Facebook. But people have said, okay, that's the bargain that we make with these companies, and I'm okay with that. And then I think this Cambridge Analytica scandal is making people realize, okay, they're not just manipulating me to buy a product or something. Cambridge Analytica has come out and said, this is psychological operations. We're using this to win hearts and minds. Just like the military does with propaganda, we are trying to manipulate people in nefarious ways by using, you know, trolling and fake news and all these kinds of things to get them to do things they wouldn't otherwise do. And that could be against their own interests. And so I think people are realizing, you know, the true risk in these platforms, and that's what's scaring them. But, you know, there's so many things about it, about that, you know, having these platforms being driven by the data and the for-profit opportunity is a business model that can be very, very easily manipulated, as we're finding out, and for that reason makes it very dangerous.
So, Jesse, what about the investment angle of this? Because the FANG stocks, which include Facebook and Amazon, they've been the high flyers. They've helped lead these markets higher, even after the correction that they have seen, at least in Facebook. You know what, there is the argument that the markets then are on shaky ground. Some people are looking at the pullback in Facebook as a buying opportunity. I know you feel differently because their fundamental business models are under attack. How does that carry over to the broad markets?
Well, I think it's interesting. One of the things I like to pay attention to is what has been the focus of the greatest, you know, speculative euphoria. And you look across markets, and obviously the cryptocurrencies were the object of a lot of speculative euphoria. Most of them are down 65% plus now, just in the last 4 months, three, 4 months or so. But within the stock market, It's not hard to argue that these stocks, the FANG stocks, have been the object of, you know, speculators' affection. And so when I look at these things together and you see the rapid reversal in speculative euphoria in cryptocurrency, at the same time we're seeing this backlash against big tech, to me it represents a potential shift in risk appetite that's kind of in sync across markets. And so, watching those trends can be indicative of, you know, what's the broad risk appetite towards stocks. And if these things are all shifting together, obviously these leaders of the stock market, these generals, whatever you want to call them, reversing lower presents a big risk to the broad stock market. And I do think the risk to these companies, to their business models, is bigger than most people think right now. And if they continue to come under this type of pressure, that has, major implications for the broad stock market.
So does this fundamentally pull down the markets? Do you think that this could almost be the financial event, more regulation around the high-flying tech stocks that leads us into the next market correction or more severe pullback?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are a lot of parallels to, you know, this backlash against big tech and the backlash we saw against, you know, the financial system 10 years ago. Facebook could easily prove to be the Bear Stearns in this process. And, you know, Google might end up being the Lehman when we realize how much data Google actually has and, you know, how much they've been monetizing that in ways that we don't understand. And really the regulatory stuff that not just this pushback by users, but the regulatory stuff that's coming out of Europe and now is being talked about in the United States could prove hugely damaging to their business models. If you take away the data ownership from these companies and put it back in the hands of users, that could be a big problem for these companies.
Yeah, hey Jesse, there's a lot going on, and I think this can all carry over to the broad markets, which is something you're pointing out. Everyone's just looking at the short-term implications, but fundamentally changing their business model will do some pretty bad things, you would think, for their stock and for users going forward. Jesse, great having you on the show. Thanks for wrapping up the first hour, and have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure, Corey. Thanks.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.